When you're doing your online shopping this holiday season, you don't need some special advantage like Stephen Fishback has because you've got Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast whenever you start your shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Or for our friends in Canada, use the link, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for the first Survivor Thursday following my paternity leave, and we've got a very big day lined up. Of course, here today, we're going to do our Survivor exit interview. Kelly Wigglesworth is going to be calling into the show in just a couple minutes. Very excited about that. Then we'll reconnect with Jordan Kalish for a little This Week in Survivor History. Then we're going to have our recap and voicemail podcast. Going to split it up into two parts today. We're going to first speak with the runner-up from Survivor Marquesas, Nalia Dennis. Oh my heck, will be joining me on the podcast so we can reconnect with her. I know that she's somebody who very much would like to have her own Survivor Second Chance, so we'll get to see firsthand how she's able to break down a very exciting Survivor episode from last night. And then it's everybody's favorite voicemail podcast of the season. We're going to be speaking with Bryce Isaiah, and we're actually going to break that off into its own episode and have that up for you guys sometime on Friday morning. So basically the same show, just going to break it up into two parts just from a scheduling perspective on my end. So very excited about all of that. Of course, last night we did our Survivor Know-It-Alls show with Josh Wiggler. If you didn't catch that, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to get the iTunes subscription feed, or you can get it on our app, robhasawebsite.com/app. All right, I see that we have Kelly Wigglesworth here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Kelly, are you there?
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Very good, Kelly. I do appreciate you coming on with us to talk about all of this, and always a pleasure to get to talk to you. I was surprised to see the group end up turning on you last night to take you out, because at least to us on the show, you hadn't been presented as one of the major threats in the game. Was it a surprise to you, or did you feel like that the writing was starting to be on the wall?
You know, a little bit of both. You know, I mean, from the beginning, you know, within seconds of hitting the beach, I heard my name, you know, being mentioned as a threat and, you know, someone that needed to be taken out early. And So I wasn't surprised in that respect. I knew I was a threat. And I was, you know, trying to lay as low as possible. But, you know, I was just starting to come on, you know, in the challenge, and people knew that. So, and, you know, Joe and I had talked about, you know, he and I being, he's the biggest guy threat, I'm the biggest girl threat. You know, whichever one of us isn't winning the idol, it's probably going to be one of us going home. But I had a pretty solid alliance. I mean, I knew I was going to be getting there at some point, but I was just, you know, hoping to win the necklace and not have to worry about that and not give them the option. I knew Abby, Sierra, and Wentworth were going to write my name down. Spencer too. I knew I didn't have any trust with him. Jeremy and Fishbach were a bit surprising.
Over the summer, Kelly, when it was, you know, announced that you were going to be on the cast, and before you guys came home, I was asked to say, who is going to be the winner of the season? And I sort of like thought about it, and I got really excited about the idea that I felt like there was such a reverence for you that I felt like none of these players were going to be targeting you because they all had so much respect for you coming from the first season. Did you find that to be the case while you were out there, that people had just this this really warm feeling towards you, or did you feel like that was short-lived?
You know, both. I mean, you know, people did, you know, from the start, you know, I did feel that, you know, exactly how you said, and people, you know, it was like, they almost had the attitude of like, they wanted to see me play and they wanted to play with me. But as it started getting closer, like you said, you know, it was short lived. As it started getting closer to the end, it's like, well, okay. Like, you know, everyone said blatantly, like, if you let Wigglesworth get to the end, you know, she's going to win. So are we going to play or are we not, you know, are we just going to give her the million or what, you know? So I knew that I was a threat and I was a target, and I just, you know, that's where my mind is like, all right, now it's time to win challenges. Now you have to win all the final five so you can be to the end. And I was pretty sure I was going to win that one.
That's your strong spot in the game. Talk to me about your relationship with Steven, because that was somebody that you had been with since about day seven, since the first tribe swap. And then again, you were away from him for like 3 days when you went to KO. But talk to me about your relationship with him. And were you surprised that he was the person who was really pushing for you to go out last night?
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, it was funny because Steven and I both sort of had an interesting, like, surprising like of each other. You know, I didn't really see him as someone I was gonna not necessarily get along with. I mean, I can get along with anybody, you know, for 39 days, but you know, to sort of kind of genuinely like each other, you know, as we would talk and play games and whatnot, you know, he would make these little comments, like he would be constantly surprised, you know, wow, Wigglesworth, he really, you know, that was a really arty comment, or, you know, he was seemed to be shocked at, you know, that I knew art and music and books and, you know, wow, you're really good at puzzles and God, Wigglesworth, you're fantastic under pressure. And, you know, it was just, he seemed to be shocked at these different aspects of me. And I think, you know, maybe he sort of thought I was just kind of a dumb jock or something. And, you know, I was sort of shocked at how, you know, sort of funny and silly and witty, and we did find a lot in common. And, you know, we had talked about sort of a super secret, you know, sub alliance involving him and myself and Joe and, you know, Kimmy and Keith, and he was just, oh my God, that's brilliant. You know, no one's going to suspect, you know, Joe and I working together. And, you know, that whole day after the challenge, before the vote, he was literally following me around like, hey, let's talk, you know, are we good? And, you know, yeah, we're good. So that, you know, that was kind of shocking that he was, you know, the spearhead of that.
For me as a viewer, it was really hard to sort of get where your loyalties were in the game, because I know you were tight with Savage and you had been with him for at different points once you got to the new Takeo with him. And then it looked like at times you had a relationship with Joe. Seems like you were tight with Kimmy, but then also it seemed like you were tight with the witches. So where was your true loyalty?
You know, you know, originally everyone that I had loyalty to was gone by, you know, the merge or by the second swap. You know, everyone I had, you know, planned as being an alliance with were gone. So I really sort of had to kind of switch around and sort of see, you know, who I could align with. You know, I didn't know if I was going to see Kimmy again, you know, at the merge. I didn't know if I was, you know, Savage and I actually weren't on the same team until the second swap. And then, you know, after Wu was voted out, we were both worried that one of us wasn't going to make it to the merge. So I had to sort of, you know, just kind of play the field a little bit, you know, sort of based on like, who am I going to potentially end up with? I mean, I think, you know, ultimately after the merge, you know, I, you know, had an alliance with Joe. I had, you know, Joe and Kimmy were pretty much the two people that I had, you know, trust in the most. Savage, but, you know, he was gone pretty quick. And after that, it was, you know, pretty much Joe and Kimmy.
What about the three witches? Were you working with them at all?
No. No, Sierra was trying to get me to be, you know, part of their alliance, and, you know, Cass and Wentworth from the beginning was trying to get me, you know, she kept saying, you know, she wanted to work with me. But, you know, very early on, the first vote on Takeo, you know, Terry had said, okay, you know, she's going to vote with us. She shook my hand. She swore on her dad. And I said, nope, don't believe it. And she didn't. So I never had any trust in her from the beginning. And, you know, Cass made this whole big scene about, you know, we're going to vote Spencer, but we're going to pretend it's Sierra, and then just all these theatrics, and the whole time they were plotting to vote Wu out. So, and then as soon as we merge, all these same people were wanting me to be in alliance with them, and I'm like, how do you expect me to be in alliance with you? Blatant mistrust.
Kelly, we didn't get to see a ton of you on the show through these 9 episodes. Is that something that frustrated you, or is that not the kind of thing that you even think about in terms of airtime?
I don't think about that. I think about the fact that, you know, what's going to show is who's creating the most drama. And, you know, I'm not a drama type of person. So I'm happy that I wasn't involved in all the drama that was being shown. So it doesn't bother me.
It seemed to be that coming into this season, you were somebody who was going to try to keep the scheming and plotting to a minimum. Do you feel like that that is ultimately the right approach for this game in season 31?
You know, ultimately, if you want to get to where you want to get, and you want to get to $1 million, you're going to have to, you know, turn your back on somebody at some point. So, and you know, probably not if you want $1 million, you know, and if you want Survivor $1 million, probably not.
How big of an adjustment was it for you to come back into season 31 after playing 30 seasons ago?
It took a little while, definitely, to kind of just, all right, shake it off and this is where you're at type of thing. You know, the survival aspect and the, you know, the being uncomfortable and the camping and the whatnot, you know, that's really easy for me. I mean, not easy, but, you know, it's not as difficult for me as the, you know, the social game and the psychology of it. And I always sort of refer to it as like trying to survive like your worst high school clique out in the woods, you know?
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to just sort of check out and like walk away. Whereas, you know, you really have to sort of try to be involved and make connections with people, even people you don't really like. And, you know, that was always difficult for me to sort of make the connection with, you know, with the girls. You know, in hindsight, you know, maybe I should have done an all-girl alliance because I, you know, felt maybe I was probably the stronger of, you know, in terms of physical challenges. Maybe that would have been my best move. But at the end of the day, you know, I want to play with people that I, you know, have a connection with, and I want to be in alliance with people that I, you know, sort of have a mutual respect with. And that's, you know, what I chose to do.
It seems like to me that through, you know, season one and then through season 31, you really take no joy in the strategic part of the game. But it seems like that Survivor was something that you wanted to come back and do. Is that a fair assessment, that it's just the surviving element is what you really enjoy about this?
That's what I really enjoy about it. And, you know, myself and, you know, more of the quote unquote old school players, you know, we were sort of trying. We were trying to, like, let's see if we can change it a bit, you know, let's see if we can, you know, sort of try to get through it and try to get as far as we can without, you know, the super scheming and the backstabbing and, you know, the strategy, so to speak. So it wasn't necessarily just me trying that, you know, we were trying, you know, sort of collectively to maybe prove that, you know, that could be possible.
Yet at the same time, we had people like Jeff Varner, who really talked openly about a pregame alliance that he had with you. And he seemed like he was the most schemey of people out there who was really trying to hustle. Was that sort of overstated on his part, or were you really working in lockstep with Jeff coming into the game?
Well, I'd be lying if I said, you know, we hadn't talked. You know, everybody was trying to talk to everybody, and everybody was reaching out to people, and I had a lot of people reaching out to me as well, and I was like, you know what, let's figure it out when we get out there. We don't even know what team we're going to be on. We don't even know where we're going to be. But, you know, of all the people there, you know, Varner was really the only person that I had even met before, you know, or Kimmy, you know, I had like met Kimmy once before, but we, you know, we never talked, we never had any, and Varner and I didn't even really have any relationship either, but it was like, okay, this is one person I know, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when we ended up being on the same team, it was like, okay, we know each other, all right, like, let's trust each other, and he was the only person I sort of knew, so I thought, okay, I can trust you, but I mean, boom, first vote right off of that, he flipped, it was like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, yeah.
What was your relationship like with Tasha out there?
You know, Tasha, we didn't, you know, spend any time together until the merge. And our relationship was really, you know, I, you know, sort of trusted her and liked her because, you know, Savage did. And, you know, Savage was vouching for her. And, you know, other people had said, you know, she was a great person and a good player and you know, a trustworthy person. So that, you know, my thoughts on her was, you know, sort of based on other people's opinion. And, you know, we were collectively in the same large alliance. So, you know, yeah, I felt that, you know, I could trust her, you know, up to a point. We really didn't have a chance to get that close. You know, we really didn't. You know, she was kind of similar to me in that, okay, we're in an alliance. These people miss people. Okay, we're done. We don't need to, like, spend all day talking and coddling and reconfirming, you know, the alliance. It was, you know, more of like, okay, sort of the less said, the better. Let's just, you know, keep it at that. You know, but I will say the night, you know, obviously last night of my vote out, you know, it was really, you know, Tasha who was kind of like, something weird's going on, you know, something's not right. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like something's, and it was Jeremy. She and I both became really suspicious of Jeremy. You know, he wasn't talking to either of us very much. He, you know, he wasn't really looking us in the eye. He definitely wasn't looking me in the eye. He was just sort of behaving oddly. And, you know, right before we left for council, she was just like, something's going down. Like, we didn't know what, you know, but we knew something wasn't going according to plan. And I'm sure she even said it at council, like, you know, Jeff, I don't know if things are going to go down the way we want right now. And, you know, she was like, let's not split votes, you know, me, you, and Kimmy, like, let's just all vote Wentworth. But we just, you know, we didn't have the time to communicate. So it was like, okay, well, I guess just stick to the plan.
Kelly, would you play Survivor a third time, or did this second time satisfy your craving for Survivor?
Well, I didn't win, so I feel
okay.
Like I got to keep coming back till I win. So we're going to put a big maybe on that.
And last thing, Kelly, now that you're on the jury, is there any possibility that we could maybe expect a scathing Kelly Wigglesworth jury speech?
I'm going to put a big maybe and a question mark on that, too.
Okay, good. Kelly, thank you so much. I do appreciate you taking the time. I get the sense that maybe talking about Survivor isn't your favorite thing in the world to do, so we do appreciate when you have some time for us. So thank you so much.
No, not at all. I'm happy to talk about it. Thank you.
All right, Kelly, all the best, okay?
Thanks.
Take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Kelly Wigglesworth here on the podcast. And now we're going to switch gears and bring in our resident researcher who covers everything that happened in Survivor history. And he is back with us after a 1 week hiatus. Here is the great Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, how's it going? I'm so relaxed now. Had my 1 week off. I went on a retreat to upstate New York, which I know a lot of the other RHAP correspondents like to joke about. So it was a lot of fun.
Yes. All right. So good to have you back after a hiatus. It was a productive one for me. I hope it was for you. And we're going to talk about what was going on during this week in Survivor history. But first, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for the This Week in Survivor History segment. And those are our friends over at the Pro Job Network. How about that, Jordan?
This is a blindside.
Because if you're a small business owner like myself, you can do 1,000 things to find a great new hire, or you could do one post with the Pro Job Network with just one click. Post your ad to over 40 different job sites, and it will probably take you forever to do that if you weren't on Pro Job Network. And even then, you wouldn't get the preferred placement that you'll get from the Pro Job Network. In about a day, you'll have a list of qualified local candidates to choose from. And because Pro Job Network will place your job in front of qualified candidates who've asked to hear about the specific opportunities like yours, how great is that? You'll save time, you'll save money, and you'll find good people. So go ahead, try Pro Job Network for free for 1 week by visiting projob.com/Rob. That's projob.com/Rob. Post it, hire, genius. Try it free at projob.com/Rob. All right, Jordan, where are we going this week?
So we're going to go all the way back to Survivor Philippines. This is the episode 3 years ago, this Saturday, November 21st, 2012. This is an episode that has some connections to Survivor Second Chances. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about a decision that Jonathan Penner made, who is one of my favorite survivors in the history of the show. But it was a decision that would end up costing him. Earlier in this episode, Mike Scoopin had a comment where he said, when someone wants to take you to the final four, strategically, you say, heck yes. But Lisa and Scoopin were offering Jonathan Penner a final three deal, and Penner said, heck no.
He didn't quite say that. He was like, no. Hey, isn't it a little early for that?
Yeah, he didn't say no, but he said it is early to make that kind of commitment. But he should have said heck yes, even if he didn't want to do it. He was in a position that he could have gone to this was the final eight. He could have gone to the final seven with him, Carter, Lisa, and Scoopin in the driver's seat. And if he gets to that final three with any of those people, he's most likely going to win the game.
Yes. Much like being asked if you are a god, the answer is always yes, right?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, Lisa could have chosen to go with Denise and Malcolm, which he ends up doing because Penner rejects this offer. But this is Penner's first season, Cook Islands, his big problem was that nobody trusted him. And this season, you know, it seemed like the majority of the cast that was left in the game at this point. Of course, there were some earlier who didn't trust him, like Jeff Kent, but the people left in the game seemed to trust him. I think they all respected him for the most part. And it would have definitely behooved him to accept this deal, but he ends up going out in the next episode. And of course, Malcolm, Denise, Lisa, and Scoopin become the final four.
Yes, I remember it well. And it's a shame because if Penner was going to win any season, that was probably the closest he came.
Yeah, he was playing well up until this point. And unfortunately, it didn't fall his way.
Didn't work out. Bad luck, Johnny.
And this is also an episode I said before that has some Survivor Second Chances connections. This is going to be our Second Chances rewind. This episode is called "Whiners Are Wieners," and this is that's from a quote that Denise said during the episode about Abby Maria, who Abby Maria, of course, is in the Witch's Coven in Survivor Second Chances.
Yes,
she we thought was on the bottom, but obviously they were able to work their magic to get Steven and Jeremy and Spencer to vote with them in this episode.
JSS.
And Abby Maria was on the bottom in this episode too. This was right off of the artist blind side from the previous episode. Pete and Abby were on the outs, and Abby was actually able to save herself with the hidden immunity idol on a vote split. So Pete Bro ended up going home in this episode. It wasn't after some fireworks at Tribal Council.
Yeah. Well, Abby Maria always delivers the fireworks.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And she and Denise didn't get along, and Denise, who, she was able to, her tone was very calm, but what she was saying, she called her dead weight. She called her unlikable. Abby actually started crying during this tribal council. And I don't know if she was, she looked more sad during this episode or when she was sitting by herself in the rain, when she wasn't allowed to play the Roar Challenge in tonight's episode.
Yeah. This is very sad, Abby Maria. Yeah. I did like in the episode tonight when she told Joe that she had to go to the bathroom where he was looking for the hidden immunity idol.
Yeah, that was great. That was really one of my favorite moments of Abby this season.
Yeah, very good stuff. All right, Jordan, anything else from this week?
Yeah, this was actually a very big week in Survivor history for the Second Chance people. If we go to Survivor Blood versus Water, November 20th, 2013. This is the episode. Everyone calls it Sierra voting out her mom, Laura Moret. I mean, really, she technically didn't vote. She was part of the vote to vote at her mom. It wasn't her plan. She was doing it to curry favor with those still left in the game. But they would have had the majority without Sierra, but it is a memorable moment. It is what people, one of the things that people look to about Sierra's game and why she was brought back for this season. So Sierra writes mom on the parchment, and Laura Moret was sent home. Not a good, a good week in Survivor history for Laura Moret, who actually got voted out in Samoa as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tough really week for week. Laura Moret. She's running for office, Laura Moret, too.
I know. It's in Oregon, right?
Hold on. That election day next year isn't going to be this week, right?
No, I think it's going to be earlier in November. So lucky for her, it's not an unlucky week. And then just one more guy from this episode who had a big night tonight, finding his second idol of the game. And he really does have two idols, unlike his wife, Val, who said that she had two idols. This is the episode where Jeremy Collins was voted out, and is very interesting. It was supposed to be a vote split between Reed and Keith. Jeremy and Natalie voted for Keith, and the rest of the people that were supposed to vote for Reed turned on Jeremy and voted him out, just like in this episode. But Jeremy was one of the people who turned on his ally to vote out Kelly Wigglesworth.
It's only 1 year ago. Feels much longer than that.
Feels like forever. Very, very interesting season, San Juan del Sur. Maybe not the greatest for strategy, but definitely a lot of interesting characters.
Lots of fun stuff. All right. Jordan Kalish, you can follow me on Twitter. He's at Jordan Kalish. Jordan, talk to you again soon, buddy.
Talk to you soon, Rob.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That's This Week in Survivor History with our buddy Jordan Kalish. So that's going to do it for our exit interview podcast today. Very much looking forward to our interviews with Nalia and with Bryce coming up here on Thursday. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll be back with much more Survivor later on in the day and into Friday, talking about a very exciting episode 9 of our Second Chance season here on Rob's Podcast. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.